Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's a Thursday TD Power Hour. Next hour, Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Good. Ian Safar is here. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Okay, so the big news today, Carson Wentz did not practice. Did you see that?
I did see that, yep.
So Carson Wentz did not practice. Did you see the other part of the big news going on in Indianapolis?
I don't know if I did.
Ian, did you see the other part of the big news going on in Indianapolis?
Does it involve another quarterback?
It does involve another quarterback.
Yes, I did see this news. Who is practicing?
So we all just assumed Jacob Eason was the backup quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
And so we assume that if Carson Wentz is out, that Jacob Eason would then start at quarterback. The second-year man didn't get any experience last year, nor a preseason in 2020. Had a very unspectacular preseason in 2021. And Jacob Eason threw, I think, five passes the other day. One of them was an interception right into the arms of Jalen Ramsey. And we would assume that he would be their starting quarterback. But Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reporting today, not so fast. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Brett Hundley. Remember Brett Hundley? Backup for Aaron Rodgers that year that Rodgers broke his clavicle and played like five or six games for the Packers and was abysmal. Brett Hundley on their practice squad has been getting the starters reps at practice. So Jacob Eason has not been getting the reps. So this is, by the way, to take you through how great the Indianapolis Colts are. Remember their great general manager that everybody just gets on their knees every time they talk about him? About this guy has built the best roster in the NFL, and Frank Reich and Chris Ballard cannot be stopped. Have you thought about this? Their plan to back up their quarterback, who, I don't know if you've noticed, gets injured quite a bit. Their plan to back him up was Jacob Eason. I believe a fifth-round pick, maybe a fourth-round pick last year, who didn't get any experience. Jacob Eason, when Carson Wentz went down in training camp, they said, hey, no, 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 we don't need to go get a quarterback. We're good because Jacob Eason is our backup. Then after about a week of practicing, they said, well, you know, Sam Ehlinger, that rookie out of Texas, by the way, kind of sucked at Texas. That rookie out of Texas, Sam Ehlinger, he might be our guy instead of Eason. Ehlinger busts up a knee. Eason's the backup. Hundley gets released, goes to the practice squad. That's where he is. Wentz gets hurt, surprise, after the first two games. And now it's not Eason they're looking at starting. It might be Hundley on Sunday. And as I said yesterday, if Jacob Eason is the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, the Tennessee Titans have no excuse to lose that game. The same, I will say, for Brett Hundley. Because when I saw that Brett Hundley had been getting the starters reps, I literally laughed out loud. I thought, that is some bad footballing right there. That is bad coaching. That is bad GMing. That is, first of all, when you've got Carson Wentz as your starting quarterback and you don't have a plan at the backup position, that's bad enough. But when your plan at the backup position proves in training camp that you don't trust him, and then you still have him as your backup, that's terrible. I mean, that is just laughable. And that's the position the Colts are in. But I was thinking about this, because I think we would all agree, right? If Eason or Hundley starts on Sunday, the Titans should win, right?
Yes.
Ian?
Probably so, yeah.
Okay. I kind of think they should win the game if Carson Wentz plays too. Carson Wentz is going to have no practice this week. I saw somewhere where they say, you know, Frank Reich likes his players to practice at least once during the week if he's going to play them. Now, he's made an exception before for T.Y. Hilton, but Frank Reich normally doesn't make the exception, and he wants to see somebody practice. I guarantee you Frank Reich will make the exception for Carson Wentz this week if he doesn't practice and is still able to go on Sunday. But the severity of the ankle injury, as we have well documented, makes it very unlikely that he would be able to play on Sunday, or very unlikely that at this state of the season, this part of the season, that it would be smart to go risk Wentz to further injury on that ankle by playing him against the Titans. But shouldn't they still win, even if Carson Wentz plays? I haven't watched at length the two Indianapolis games, so I can't tell you every throw Wentz made or he didn't make. I do know this. When the Indianapolis Colts traded for Carson Wentz, The very first day that I interviewed Caroline Fenton for this job, I was celebrating because I didn't think much of Carson Wentz as a quarterback. Anybody see the shovel pass in the end zone that got intercepted last week? Ryan Tannehill normally doesn't make that kind of big a mistake. Carson Wentz does. He's made a lot of mistakes before. It's kind of like Mariota, right? Makes a lot of mistakes, can't stay healthy. You can't count on him. Mariota, from all reports, seems to be a better teammate than Wentz is. But, you know, I was never really afraid of Carson Wentz to begin with. Indianapolis this year, in total offense and total defense. Now, remember, we made a rule on this show that we are going to go by points and not yards. Because what happens is total defense is technically by yards, but they don't count yards on the scoreboard. They count points. With Carson Wentz as their quarterback, the Colts, 24th in total points scored, 23rd in total points allowed. They lost to the Seahawks at home, and they lost to the Rams at home. They, by the way, were gifted a touchdown by the Rams, who couldn't effectively snap a punt into their own end zone. Take that touchdown away, it's a much different game. I think that they should beat either guy. They should beat Wentz. They should beat Eason. They should beat Hundley. And there's something about the Titans that seems to be bothering me right now. And I read it in your tweets, and I heard it when Caroline would read the text line, or we'd take your calls over the last couple of days, which is some fear of Indianapolis, some fear of, well, you know, if the Titans go out there Sunday and fumble the football, if the Titans go out there Sunday and drop the football, if the Titans go out there Sunday and can't snap the football, if the Titans go out there and remember Indianapolis last year, remember the shanked punt by Trevor Daniel followed by the block in the end zone? I do. And you're worried about all those things happening. And I'll just say this. Aren't we past that for the Tennessee Titans? They traded for Julio Jones. We said the day after they traded for Julio that the message there was, hey, fans, we think we're good enough to go compete for the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that they are or they aren't. I don't think you can make a decision on September 23rd of whether or not somebody is a competitor for the Super Bowl or not unless their name is the Chiefs. That team I'll give you. Everybody else, I don't know. Are the Raiders or the Carolina Panthers good enough to compete for the Super Bowl? I doubt it, but they're 2-0. Stranger things have happened. So I go back, though, to this. If you think the Titans are competing for the Super Bowl, then they shouldn't lose at home to the Indianapolis Colts. And yeah, you're going to get the best effort from Indianapolis that they'll put out this season because they know as well as we do that the Titans at 2-1 and them at 0-3 with the Dolphins and, more importantly, the Ravens coming up on the schedule is not a place you want to be. They know that their quarterback is hurt. And if they run one of these other guys out there, they're probably going to lose. And if he plays, they're going to need some sort of Herculean effort and some sort of screw up from the Tennessee Titans in order for them to win. They know these things. But that still doesn't mean that you should lose. You should beat either quarterback. I have no idea what the line is. Caroline, if you could, please find me the line on Sunday's game. This is something that I probably should know. I'm going to guess that it has the Titans somewhere between 4.5 points and 5.5 points. And I look at that and I think, you should win this game. That is half of, well, we don't think Wentz is going to play, half of if Wentz does play.
It is five.
Five? In between 4.5 and 5.5.
Yep.
There you go. Okay. They're a 5-point favorite. They should win this game. And look, they threw out a clunker week one against Arizona. Things happen. I get it. But they throw out this clunker against Arizona week one. Then they show you how good they can be on Sunday in spite of the mistakes they made against the Seattle Seahawks. Do you know what is obvious to me after watching 8 quarters of football from the Tennessee Titans? It is obvious to me that they didn't practice and that that bit them in the butt against Arizona. And that by the time they got to the third and especially the fourth quarter against Seattle, all that rust and all that we haven't practiced and we haven't played together and lack of chemistry, that kind of was gone. Because they looked like the Tennessee Titans that we've seen in the middle of the seasons each of the last 2 years running the football with Derrick Henry against Seattle. So if you're good enough to beat the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Jamal Adams, if you're good enough to beat that team, then you should beat the Indianapolis Colts at home. Again, Carson Wentz got hurt for one series, two series on Sunday. Other than that, he's been their starting quarterback against two teams that many people consider to be Super Bowl contenders, the Rams and Seattle, 24th in offense, 23rd in defense. So while we can sit here today, and we will follow the latest, because I think it would be an absolute, just unmitigated embarrassment if the Titans were to lose to Jacob Eason or Brett Hundley, I still think we should all be excited about the Titans' likelihood of beating the Colts if Carson Wentz does play. I think the Titans should prepare for Carson Wentz. I think the Titans will prepare for Carson Wentz. I think if they don't see Carson Wentz, they'll think, well, that's good. But at the end of the day, look at this Colts team. You should win. They're not that good. And if you are a Super Bowl contender, which is what we're told you are, if you're a Super Bowl contender, you should beat this team at home on Sunday. Caroline Fenton, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I came into this season thinking that this game at home should be a win, would be a win. It was when we were categorizing each game as a should win, will win. I said this game is a will win. And this was pre-Carson Wentz foot injury and also, obviously, pre-Carson Wentz ankle injury. So yes, I very much so think that this Tennessee Titans team should beat the Indianapolis Colts. And I'm not going to say handedly. I would say maybe a touchdown, I think, would be a fair ask.
Shouldn't be holding on to your butt at the end of the game.
It shouldn't go into overtime. And you shouldn't have to rely on Bullock to get you out of the game, which, you know, Seattle expectations are much different than Indianapolis Colts. I think this should be a win. This very much so should be a win. With Carson Wentz, and then you take Carson Wentz out of the equation, and then you look at their offensive line, which has been injury-ridden this entire season. Quentin Nelson going in there with bum feet, bum ankles, whatever it is that he's dealing with, lower body injury, if you want to take hockey terms. This Indianapolis Colts team has been bitten by the injury bug, and it feels like almost every single offensive position. And yeah, they're going to be faced with challenges. They're going to have to stop the run. Jonathan Taylor is going to go out there expecting to have a big game, especially if Jacob Eason is out there, a quarterback, whoever is a starting quarterback. I think that the Titans should expect Jonathan Taylor to have want to go out there and have a big game.
Oh, yeah, you're loading the box.
So they're absolutely going to have certain challenges. But it's nothing that this Tennessee Titans team can't handle or shouldn't be able to handle. Because if you want to call this team a Super Bowl contender, this team has got to beat a Carson Wentzless Indianapolis Colts team.
Ian, how do you feel about no excuses on Sunday?
I mean, I get where that would come from, you know, considering the quarterback situation and everything. But I don't know, man. The more and more I've been listening to stuff around this week, the more I just think the Colts offensive line in particular is going to come ready to play. We've seen them take over a game versus the Titans before. I would tend to think this game is going to be closer than we think.
So closer than we think may be a possibility. I can't accept losing this week. I can't accept it. I mean, if you want to go bananas, I mean, after the first game against the Cardinals, there was like a part of me that said, you know, gosh, I miss the way that it used to be on the show where I could just be incredibly reckless. And, you know, I could light any fire I wanted to, and then Floyd would be there with the extinguisher and just put it all out and everybody laugh and have a good time. And I felt like I couldn't do that after the Arizona game because obviously Floyd's not here to say, you know, whoa now, in the way that he would say it. Now, we all know what I'm saying about this Indianapolis Colts team about I don't even care if Carson Wentz plays, they should win. We all know he'd say, whoa now, whoa now. We know we'd get that. But, I mean, in terms of reality, I just cannot see losing this game. Wentz, Eason or Hundley, I cannot see losing this game for the Titans to be an acceptable outcome. There is no way. So whatever you want to say on Monday if they lose, and again, we got a rule on this show, nobody gets in trouble for something they haven't done. But whatever you want to say on Monday, you can say on Monday. In fact, you know what? We'll just do 4 hours of calls on Monday. It's kind of what we do anyways. Mm-hmm. We will just do 4 hours of your phones if they lose on. Like, I won't even come in. I won't even have anything prepared to start the show. We'll just open it and we'll just go phones if they lose. And you can say whatever you want. Be as mad at Vrabel, Robinson, Downing, Bowen, Tannehill, Henry, LaJuan, I mean, Taylor LaJuan gets all the flack. I mean, I'm starting to feel bad for Taylor, honestly. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting the show today, which is this. I don't think Wentz is going to play. If Wentz does play, I still think they should win. And we should expect him to win. And there should be consequences, and we should be upset if they don't win. What do you think? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, one thing that bothers me about the Titans. The day that the old Titans left, the Steve McNairs, the Eddie Georges, the day that they left, there has been a trend that has followed the Titans for years and years and years. And we saw it last weekend in a good way. But it can also be a bad thing. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, right here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And, of course, we're streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.
Sort of along those same lines, Vrabel just said that focus can't only be a response to adversity. Can it be a challenge when you're piling up wins, maybe, and things are going well to stay focused and keep that sense of urgency?
I can if you let it, but that's not our mentality around here. That's not our mindset. Success doesn't just happen, especially in this league. It's tough to go out and win every week, and if you let your attention and focus slip, then it's going to show. So our mindset, no matter what's going on, is to come to work ready to go, work to get better each and every day, prepare to win football games, you know, whether you're coming off a loss or a win.
That was really nice of Ryan Tannehill to say yesterday. You know, hey, we come in same way every week, no matter what, win or loss, we keep our focus. Ian, you buying that one?
It can be tough in the NFL. It can be very week to week.
Do you think for them, what we've seen over the last 3 years, Vrabel's tenure, so the last 4 years, including this year, do you think the Titans approach games after they win the same way they approach games after they get embarrassed?
Oh, maybe not after that. That might be a little bit different. After embarrassed, that's one thing. It seems like they do kind of pick it back up.
Yes. Yes. So when Tannehill sits there and says, hey, that's not our mentality, is it?
I believe that Tannehill thinks that's what their mentality should be. But I don't buy that that's what it actually is.
I think Tannehill says that maybe because that's his mentality.
Yeah, that's true. Like, his mentality can be different than the rest of the team.
I think he and Derrick Henry live that lifestyle. I'm not sure the rest of the Titans do. And that would be the thing that scares me the most right now about this Indy game. I don't think Wentz is going to play. I really don't. But if you were to say what's going to scare you the most, it's the fact that the Titans, when things are going well, the Titans get way too cocky. And they go to the Buffalo Bills in 2018 that had a rookie Josh Allen who was nothing like the Josh Allen he is today. And they fumbled the football two or three times. And Nick Williams dropped a ball in the end zone. And they lost a game that they should have won that probably would have gotten them in the playoffs that year. That is what the Titans do when things are going well. They were 3-1. Everybody was feeling great. They had just beaten the world champion Eagles. And they go to Buffalo and they lose. Remember last year, Halloween at Cincinnati? Oh, that was bad. Oh, that was bad. When things are going well, the Titans, sometimes they get a little too cocky. Now, I think that's probably how most teams in the NFL are. That outside of like Brady's Patriots or Kansas City or the teams that just have so much talent that they can't lose. So they're going to go 13-3. I think those teams, you know, probably are able to handle it the right way. But I got to tell you, the Titans, they don't sit well with success. So as much as we talked about on Friday, the Seattle game, of me saying, hey, the reason I think they've got a shot to win this game is because there's something about this team after they get embarrassed, playing a game that they have no business winning, that somehow, some way, they find a way to win. And that is exactly what happened last Sunday. If there was anything that would make me nervous about this Colts game, a Colts team who mano e mano, I think they're better than, who are probably going to be without their starting quarterback, who are probably going to be playing a practice squad quarterback. That game, there is nothing that truly bothers me, except I think sometimes the Titans get a little too cocky. That's it. Sometimes they get a little too cocky. And we've seen it over the years. And I just hope this Titan team doesn't get too cocky.
But I can understand that 100% if you are on a heater, if you are on a 4 or 5 game winning streak, but they're not that far removed from getting absolutely blown out of the water in Arizona. I'm not saying that that's like that could possibly change their mindset. I'm just saying, like, hey, stay grounded here.
Corey Curtis texted me and said that injury is the only thing that he's worried about. Knock on wood. That's just no fun.
Yeah.
The whole injury thing is just, it's not fun. You know, like you lose a game because you screw it up. You know, that there's, it's probably not fun there either, but it's probably more fun than, you know, if something just catastrophic happens.
Right.
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Sunday. Nashville SC takes on Chicago. Pregame 11:45 a.m. The match begins at noon. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steven is going to kick us off today on the Colts game. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Steven. Steven. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah. You're on the air. Go.
I was going to kind of go along the same time. Got felt in the back of my mind that we were just going to win a game because I just threw in that corner. And then this week it feels like this.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go because your phone's just killing me. But I think I got the gist of what he was trying to say, right? Like last week I felt good because the Titans are backed in the corner. And this week I'm nervous because it doesn't feel like the Titans are backed in the corner. That is a legitimate fear that you're allowed to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you have an irrational fear of something, like, let's say you look at this game and you call the show in a panic. And you say, but Jared, they have Rodrigo Blankenship and we have Randy Bullock and I don't know what we're going to do. Like, to me, that is an irrational fear.
Yes.
That is, you know. Hey,
although I'm very pro-Hot Rod, I think the Titans are going to be okay.
Never forget the missed 30-yard kick that he missed in the playoffs last year at Buffalo. They lost by a field goal.
That is true.
I'm just saying. That's an irrational fear. The idea that the Titans get too cocky this week, not an irrational fear.
And I think also that's a very legitimate fear to have this early in the season because you can really only look at 2 games to see what this team actually is. So you're kind of banking on the Titans because you don't know like what are the Titans' strengths. We can see what they have done in these past 2 games, but I think that that is a legitimate fear, seeing as though we don't necessarily know very much about the core of this team.
I just don't like the irrational fears. Rational fears, I am totally okay with. The one thing I would say is I do feel like perhaps that this is the radio show that they just need to put into the locker room. Like, they just need to listen to Stillman and company in the locker room. Because I think we keep it the realest, right?
I try to keep it real.
Like, I think that they need to hear this, that if you lose, it's on you. That if you lose, there is no way out of it of us to sit there and say, well, you know, I mean, they lost this game. And you have to understand, Derrick Henry was tired after all the carries that he had yesterday. And it was, no.
None of that.
No. Not acceptable. What's on the text line?
One texter texts in and says, I hope the Titans win, but the Titans usually lose games that they are supposed to win.
See, that's the point I'm just making right here.
Yeah, right.
And I do wonder, like when Tannehill gets asked those questions, like he was asked, and you know, that's not our mentality around here. That's not how we, do you think he knows in the back of his mind the exact same thing that we're talking about right now? Because we can say it. They can't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill can't get up there and say, yeah, guys, look, I wasn't here in 2018, but I remember after beating Dallas and New England that we got spanked in back-to-back games by the Colts and the Texans. Like, Tannehill can't say that.
But it's a reality.
Yes. And even last year. You know, last year they were 11-5, so I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, like, games that they lost. They lost to the Steelers. That was, both teams were 5-0. That was what it was. They were hurt in the secondary of the game against the Bengals. They just didn't play well that game. But they were coming off of a loss, so it wasn't like they were cocky and arrogant. They lost the Colts game because they changed punters. You could argue that that was kind of one of those games where they got a little too cocky. I want to say they beat the Bears on a Sunday, and then played the Colts on a Thursday. And it, like, I mean, I still have, like, a piece of paper that has, all the points I felt like the Titans lost themselves. I still have a piece of paper that is in a safe here in my house. It has like all these points that the Titans cost themselves. And it was something around 30. Now, Floyd shot like a couple of those down, so it was like 20-something. But it was like an A.J. Brown drop touchdown. It was Clowney not stopping him on a fourth down when he had the guy wrapped up in the backfield. It was a celebration, you know, issue. It was like, so they cost themselves a lot of points in that game. So maybe that was the one where they came out and kind of clunked it. But not, I mean, like, Indy was an evenly matched team with them last year, and then they lost to the Browns and the Packers. Two teams were probably better than them. So last year they didn't do it. The year before they definitely did it. They went to Cleveland week one, and they, you know, smoked the Browns on national TV. The next week they lost to Indianapolis and Jacoby Brissett at home. And Mariota spiked the ball on third down, and it was a mess. I want to say they beat the Chiefs in 20 – I think it's right. They beat the Chiefs in 2019. They went on the road to Carolina and lost. So I've seen – no, I think Carolina was before them. Anywho, I'm just now just rambling. Go ahead.
Why do you think that is? Is it a mindset? Is it just – history working against them? Because I mean, that's what we talked about so much last week, was the Titans have such a wonderful track record of getting embarrassed and coming back and winning games that they're not supposed to, and that's exactly what they did.
So I think that in order to be a truly great pro athlete, I've talked the story about the Tim Grover book. It's called Winning. And it's about like how hard it is to win, but how it's much harder to continue to win. And he was the trainer for Michael Jordan and Kobe. And he was talking about how, like, if you're as dedicated as Kobe Bryant, or if you're as dedicated as Michael Jordan, you don't get caught up in what you won. You're always working on winning again. That's why whenever Tom Brady's asked, what's your favorite Super Bowl, his answer is always,
the next one.
The next one. And that's like, you know, Nick Saban, they win the national championship. I'm proud of the players. On to the next season. Mm-hmm. Floyd told me a story one time. They played the Super Bowl, the Eli Manning second one, where he throws the ball to Mario Manningham and Wes Welker drops it. And they lose the Super Bowl. And they fly back from Indianapolis. And so, I don't know, like, when I was a freshman in college, we went to the national championship game in women's basketball. And so that was like a month of traveling. And there's a lot that goes into the NCAA tournament. Like a lot of sitting around time and just a lot. I remember when we landed from St. Louis and got everything, you know, squared away, I remember going back to my dorm room and just being just exhausted. And I was like I was an 18-year-old manager. So we're talking about Bill Belichick coaching the Patriots. So they fly back in from Indianapolis, and that night Bill Belichick is hosting a personnel meeting to get ready for the draft. Like, that's what these great, like, the great coaches, great players do. I'm not sure the Titans are completely there yet. I think Derrick Henry is. I think Ryan Tannehill is. But I think the rest of the team, sometimes I think maybe they get a little too caught up in the BS. LaJuan, AJ, you know, I think they sometimes maybe get a little too caught up in that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your texts and, of course, your calls. And coming up next, Chris Sanders is worried. He was worried yesterday. It's a little too irrational. We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Buying a car can be overwhelming. That's why I got to tell you about my friends at Edmunds, especially now that the demand is back in full swing. Lucky for you, Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car on the market and rank the best ones in each category so you can narrow down your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. Edmunds has the top-rated awards. Their editors, you know, based on extensive testing and ranking process, will consider performance, comfort, technology, fuel economy, value, and more. They've also got helpful filters. So you know what? You don't want a green car? Don't get a green car. That's what I love about Edmunds. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com. For cars, there's Edmunds.
We know since I've been here, it's been probably one of the toughest games that I've played, especially just up front. You know, them guys, they work together good. We got to come with our hard hats on, ready for a physical game, all four quarters. We know them guys, no matter if they're down and what, they still going to be able, they still going to try to run the ball. And that's something that we got to stop this week, and that's their run game attack. And we know they're very physical in the run game. Like I said, that's something I think, I know that we'll be up to challenge for too.
Jeffrey Simmons, worried about the running game. I'm not worried about the Colts' run game.
Why?
Because Are you familiar with the name Anthony Wright?
No.
So Anthony Wright was a quarterback in the early 2000s. He started two games in his career against the Titans. One was for the Cowboys on Monday Night Football at the end of the 2000 season. And the Cowboys, I think, were 5-11 that year under Dave Campo. They were just getting through with it. It was the last game. Titans had to win in order to get the number one seed. And so you know how those games go.
Right.
Just a total beatdown. And then Anthony Wright was like a free agent quarterback that was always bouncing team to team to team. And Anthony Wright, the Ravens, got ravaged at quarterback right before the end of the 2003 season. Did not have a quarterback to play in the playoffs. Now, they had a 2,000-yard rusher in Jamal Lewis, but they did not have a quarterback because I want to say, like, gosh, I think Chris Redman was their starting quarterback, and he got hurt. And Kyle Bowler was a rookie they took out of Cal in the first round, and he got hurt. And so all they could do is throw Anthony Wright. And the Titans, facing 2,000-yard rusher Jamal Lewis with Anthony Wright at quarterback, just loaded the box and go ahead, Jamal. And they tried to give it to Jamal Lewis, and I think he got like 30-something yards. Like, because everybody in the ballpark knew he was getting it. So Floyd used to always say that if you're going to run the ball, I'll always be able to stop it because I can always bring one more down, which in theory is true because somebody has to be running the football and that person cannot be blocking, whereas you can bring all 11 guys on defense down. And if Brett Hundley's starting at quarterback or if Jacob Eason is starting at quarterback for the Colts, and I'm thinking it's going to be Hundley, then I'm not worried about them running the football because the Titans are absolutely going to stack the box. I mean, they're going to just rotate those DTs in and out there. They're going to have Rashawn Evans down there. They're probably going to play a lot of David Long Jr. down there. They're going to have the safety coming down. Like, they're going to do all of it.
I think that's fair because I look at it in the way of Jonathan Taylor can be a legitimate threat at running back. But also, Jonathan Taylor is their only threat on offense at this point. From what we can probably assume with their quarterback situation, it seems like the running game is the only legitimate threat against the Titans. So I think that is fair if you can identify what that one threat is. I mean, you can stuff the run all day.
And when did Jonathan Taylor become this guy that everybody's so worried about in the running game? Like, when did Jonathan Taylor become a guy that's like, hey, Jonathan Taylor is a bad boy? And look, I'm a total believer that Jonathan Taylor is a bad boy.
Yeah, I am a total believer that Jonathan Taylor is a bad boy.
But when did he do all of that?
I would say probably last year.
At the end of last season.
And who was his quarterback then?
Philip Rivers.
And who's his quarterback Sunday?
Not Philip Rivers.
Okay. 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders, he says he's worried about the game. Now, I'm going to say this. If this were the Chris Sanders Titans, like the 2000 Titans going into this game, other than Al Del Greco missing about 10 kicks, there is nothing I'd be worried about. Even if Carson Wentz was 100%, I wouldn't be worried. That Titan team would kill this team. But Chris Sanders on our show yesterday said he's worried.
The reason why it scares me is because they're kind of in the situation that the Tennessee Titans were in last year. I'm not talking about the quarterback situation. I'm talking about overall everybody saying their offense stinks. Everybody saying that they can't do it. Everybody saying that they don't have the mojo like they had, you know, a couple of years ago. Their back is against the corner, and that's the same thing with the Tennessee Titans. Everybody said they couldn't do it. They couldn't overcome adversity. So this is a team that's 0-2, and also this is a divisional game, so they're going to have to come out and play to figure out and get a win. I don't know if Wentz is going to play. I don't know if Easton is going to play. But I think they're not going to put it in the quarterback's hands. They're going to put it in Taylor's hands. So, you know, I just think that, you know, everybody's thinking that, okay, the Tennessee Titans are going to blow them out. Pump your brakes now, because you got to remember, this is a team that has their backs against the wall, and it's a dog that's backed up in the corner, and the only thing they can do is step out and bite. So it's going to be a good game. I think the Tennessee Titans are definitely going to win, but I just think it's going to be a closer game than what people think.
I also, you heard me chuckle there at the end of that,
uh-huh.
Because Chris is like, I'd be worried. Now they're touching win.
They're going to win, but I'm still worried.
But I'm worried.
Knowing what I know about Jadeveon Clowney, I would still do it again.
Hey, I saw you taking Joe's side yesterday, so I don't want to hear any of that.
Well,
but
you were twisting his words a little bit, so
no,
you have
not.
To defend him.
Clowney played in two more games after that.
Okay, because he got hurt.
He always gets hurt.
You cannot predict a guy getting hurt.
Yes, you can. Who's the quarterback of the Colts?
Carson Wentz.
What is the number one thing about why this guy can't be your quarterback?
Because he always gets hurt.
And what is he now?
Hurt.
Okay.
But you cannot say, well, you know, I feel like Jadeveon Clowney is going to get hurt in the next 2 weeks. No, you cannot do that.
And if Clowney hadn't gotten hurt, he still would have sucked. You want to know what projected out over 16 games? Do you know what 0 sacks in 10 games or whatever he played last year?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what that projects out over 16 games?
Zero.
Zero. Joe. Yeah, I guess he could have played. I guess Clowney could have played a game. And I guess Clowney could have gotten a sack in that game. But he didn't get sacks in any of the other games.
Well, you never know. Julio Jones didn't get very many catches week
one. You know
what?
You're right. Brett Hundley could come in here and throw 450 yards and 5 touchdowns and they'd win.
He could. Will he? Probably not.
You know what? Let's bet your life savings on it.
I don't think I will.
Oh, okay. Because Joe...
How does that have anything to do with Jadeveon Clowney?
Because Joe was willing to bet Jonnu Smith on Jadeveon Clowney.
Okay.
Signing Clowney cost them Jonnu Smith. So he was willing to do that. Now, let me ask everybody out there. How would Jonnu Smith look today? Would you take Jonnu Smith right now?
Probably.
Okay. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. We'll do that coming up next. Invigorate Health, my guys, invigoratehealthtn.com. Do not feel old anymore. Being old stinks. I'm going to be 32 this week. I have no interest in it. And I just know that how I feel at 32 and how I'm probably going to feel at 42 and 52 is not how I felt when I was 22, 24, 25. And that's why you need to give my friends at Invigorate Health a call. Perhaps you need an IV therapy. IV therapy increases mental capacity. It relieves stress, revitalizes hair and skin, bolsters your immune system, full body detox, and much, much more. Maybe you need the hormone replacement therapies, testosterone, you name it. Therapies that can restore your vitality and are designed with you in mind. You'll go in there, get a consultation. They'll take your numbers, your blood work, everything, figure out what's wrong with you. You can't put your finger on why you feel the way you feel. It's like, why do I feel... Let them do it for you. It's that simple. And they've got the M-Sculpt Neo. I've been telling you about the M-Sculpt Neo now for a minute. It's the world's first and only technology that uses radio frequency and high-intensive electromagnetic fields to eliminate fat and build muscle non-invasively in those hard-to-fix spots. Places like your tummy, places like your hips, your abs, you name it. On average, you lose about 30% of the fat and gain about 25% of the muscle. Abdomen, buttocks, inner thighs, outer thighs, front thighs, back thighs, biceps, triceps, calves, you name it. The M-Sculpt Neo takes care of it. Invigorate Health. InvigorateHealthTN.com. Give them a buzz today, 615-288-4777. And Invigorate Health. Stop feeling old. Feel like you today. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5. The game, let me tell all the fine folks out there that the NFL Game of the Week this week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week, Monday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys kickoff on ESPN 94.9 is set for 7:15. Titans and Colts TD is in the on-deck circle for the TD Power Hour. Let's go to your phones. Caroline Fenton on the text line. What do we have?
Ramal texts in and says, Jack Doyle, Titan killer, Marlon Mack, Titan killer, T.Y. Hilton, Titan killer, and Pittman as well.
Isn't T.Y. Hilton hurt?
He's on IR.
Yeah.
So take that out of consideration.
So here's my thing, right? So the Titans, when we talk about the Colts, and I would assume we'll get into this probably more tomorrow, about like the Colts. In fact, I think it was me 2 years ago that was bloviating on the air about
good word.
The Colts curse.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian, you remember that, the Colts curse?
I do.
Oh, I remember the Colts curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just losing my bananas.
It is real.
But here's my thing about the Colts curse. Is since Philip Rivers retired, since Andrew Luck retired, the reason that the Colts were better than you for so long was because they had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and you didn't. And not only that, you were bad. Like, when you were good, people forget, in 1999, after the Titans beat Buffalo in the Music City Miracle game, they went on the road to an Indianapolis team that had the bye and beat them. And in 2002, the first year of the AFC South, the Titans went on the road to Indianapolis, beat them, and then beat them here. But they won because they had Peyton Manning and you didn't. Then you got bad, and they still had Peyton Manning and you didn't. And then they lose Peyton Manning, and you're going through your stretch of bad coaches, bad GMs, Mike Reinfeldt, Rustin Webster, Mike Munchak, Ken Whisenhunt, the end of the Jeff Fisher era, which was just as bad as anything else. and they had Andrew Luck. And so when you lost a lot, it was because they had Peyton Manning and they had Andrew Luck and you didn't. Since Andrew Luck is retired, the Titans are 2-2, I believe, against the Colts. But the losses were somewhat understandable. One was because Marcus spiked the ball on third down, and that was the moment of truth where, honestly, I think Floyd probably gave up on Marcus. So you probably needed to lose that game. And then you went in there with Tannehill and beat him. And then the second time you lost was that game last year where you tried to switch the punter in the middle of the week, and the punter got shanked one and then got one blocked. But other than that, I mean, hey, you beat the Colts in Indianapolis twice. So I don't think the Colts' curse is that big of a thing. And in the two games you won, Indianapolis was really injured. And guess what? If Carson Wentz doesn't play and Brett Hundley's their quarterback, they're really injured. You beat them twice the year that Andrew Luck got hurt, didn't play, and Jacoby Brissett was their starting quarterback. You beat them on Monday Night Football here, and you honestly weren't even that good. What else?
One texter texts in and says, all of this confidence against the Colts is crazy talk. Frank Reich knows Vrabel is his B-word. The only time the Titans have beaten the Colts is when the Colts had injuries to their best defensive players. Remember when the Colts went for it on fourth down 3 times in a row in their own territory? That's no respect because we have a crappy defense. I don't care who plays quarterback for the Colts. Frank Reich will just run it down the Titans' throat. But like, nobody on the Titans' defense scares them except Jeffrey Simmons.
That's not a lack of respect for the Titans. That's Frank Reich. Like, that's what he does. Remember the playoff game last year? He's going for two, and he's going for it on fourth. Like, that's what he does. It would drive me crazy.
He's risky.
It would drive me crazy, the things that Frank Reich does.
Well, we were singing the praises of Mike Vrabel yesterday for not going for two, for being a little bit safer.
Yes, for being smart.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, the analytics, okay, yeah.
Well, and if it works, great. But I don't really know the statistics on how many times going for it or being risky like that really helps you out.
And it works for you, for example, Baltimore, who loves to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It works for you on Sunday night against the Chiefs. And everybody in September of 2021 says, Harbaugh believes in his guys. He believes in Lamar. He believes what they're trying to do. But nobody talks about it when they go for it on fourth and one at midfield in the playoffs in January of 2020, and they don't get it. And on the next play, Ryan Tannehill hits Khalif Raymond for the bomb, and the Titans are up 14-0 and stunning the loudest crowd at M&T Bank Stadium en route to knocking the Ravens out of the playoffs. Nobody talks about it then.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you want to have? That's just how Frank Reich is. I also don't think that, I mean, here's the reality of the 6 times those two have faced each other. When you talk about just fair and square winning the game, I would argue that Reich has done it once, and that no other game was truly just one team beating the other without a but. Because,
but that's not the way that history looks at games.
No. But I'm saying that, like, in the ones that the Indianapolis Colts have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the Colts won. The Titans shanked a punt and got a punt block. They switched a punter in the middle of the week because Kern got hurt. Like, that doesn't happen. You know, it's a totally different game.
Right.
Just like when they played at Indianapolis two years ago, Tannehill's first year. When they played at Indianapolis, and Indianapolis had no receivers, we were doing the pregame show. Chris Sanders had no idea who their receivers were, and he's looking at the depth chart. And during a break, he just goes, "Who is Marcus Johnson?" And I'm like, "I have no idea." And so then the next segment
starts talking
about how great Marcus Johnson is and how much he's worried about Marcus Johnson. He didn't even know who he was. And so the Titans won that game. So, like, yeah, forget about it. This is not going to be one of those fair and square games. Like, it's not. Their starting quarterback is hurt. So even if he plays, which I don't think he's going to, it's not a fair and square game. And I don't know if the Titans have lost one of these games where the Colts were behind the eight ball. I know the Titans have lost the games where they were behind the eight ball. Dean Pease has to go to the hospital just in the middle of the game. Like, just up, start of the game, Dean's got to go to the hospital. Vrabel on the sidelines has to start calling the defense. Come on now. Like, that's all. It's like that, but that's what's happened with this. So maybe the fear could be that something like that happens on Sunday, but the team that's behind the eight ball right now is them. And so
Fear of things happening like that, unfortunately, you never want anyone to go to the hospital, or the fear of injuries. Those are things that are equally likely and unlikely for every single team. If you can look at what on paper, the facts, what we know going into this game, it feels like the odds are in the Titans' favor. Barring any sort of defensive coordinator needing to go to the hospital, quarterback going down, knock on wood, whatever that may be.
Here we go. Colts injury report is out. Thank you for this, Ian. Not practicing today for the Colts. Jordan Glasgow, a linebacker. Braden Smith, the tackle, the right tackle, did not practice. Carson Wentz did not practice. Darius Leonard with an ankle did not practice. Jack Doyle, resting, did not practice. Eric Fisher, who's got that Achilles injury, is coming off of a tackle, did not practice. So now, Darius Leonard did not practice. Add him to the injury report with an ankle. I can guarantee you this. If Carson Wentz and Darius Leonard don't play, the Titans may win by 500 points. It'll be a lot like the game last year on the road where...
That's a lot.
Last year, DeNico Autry and DeForest Buckner tested positive for COVID. And I believe Jonathan Taylor tested positive for COVID before the game too. And so it was Rivers versus the entire Titans team. And Derrick Henry, I saw this yet. Derrick Henry ran for like 178 yards. And I swore it was closer to 300. Like that's how... I would love to know how many yards... In that Colts game last year, Derrick Henry had at the half. I'm going to guess it was probably 130. And then they just didn't run him in the second half. It had to be that way. I mean, that game, like, I remember doing the pregame show. I actually had, like, a scratchy throat. Mm-hmm. And so Chris Sanders was at Corner Pub, and I was here doing the pregame show. Because, like, it was like, no, Jared, scratchy throat, don't you? Yeah. You know, hey. And I remember doing the pregame show and being like, are they going to be able to stop these guys at all? And, you know, Chris is, you know, normal, worried self.
Right.
And
well, Chris is a player, and I think that former players go into games with the mentality you've got to be worried about everyone.
Well, I think when they're not involved in it, they're worried about it like that.
Yeah.
Because I asked him if he played, would he be worried? And he, oh, well, I wouldn't be worried. I would just know that I'd have to. Okay. So you wouldn't be worried if he played. We know former GMs are worried about every game. Ain't that right, Ian? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine how worried he'd be? Titans injury report. Here you go. Caleb Farley's shoulder did not practice. Anthony Firkser knee did not practice. Derek Roberson with a knee did not practice. Chris Jackson sick. He did not practice. Jayon Brown and Bud Dupree both limited today, as was Roger Saffold. A.J. Brown full participant today as well. Taylor Lewan full participant. So anything to be worried about would be Farley and Firkser and... You know, they can win without those guys. TD is in the on deck circle, the TD Power Hour. What does he make of the Titans after the first two games? We'll get that next with Teron Davenport right here on Stillman & Company. It's the TD Power Hour next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.